It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Labor Day getaway. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. AAA says holiday travels back to near pre-pandemic levels. An estimated 137 million of us will be on the go from now through Monday. That's almost half the country. Correspondent Tom Costello says to avoid the crush of traffic, leave early and plan ahead.
And then try to program the GPS. Listen, this is one of those things I always forget when I get in the car. Look for those opportunities to avoid road closures or heavy construction or whatever. And then I'm in the jam and my wife says, you didn't program the GPS. Yeah, you're right. So try to program the GPS early to avoid those obstacles if you can. This does save you time.
Yeah, I know the feeling, Tom. Thank you very much. Peak travel times this afternoon and Monday afternoon. Now, gasoline prices for the last official getaway of summer averaging $3.82 a gallon nationwide, and that's down 40 cents from a month ago. New numbers out today show the labor market remains resilient despite fears of a recession. Joblessness for the month of August, 3.7%. Employers adding 315,000 workers to their payrolls. Mark Hamrick with Bankrate.com tells us what these numbers mean.
The Federal Reserve looks at these August jobs numbers along with the recently reported number of job openings topping 11 million versus 6 million unemployed, and regards the labor market as still hot, even if the unemployment rate has now edged up from the recent low.
Unemployment ticked up 0.2% from August as more Americans test out the job market. Well, it was billed as a speech for the soul of America, but its focus and firepower was squarely directed at one man and his followers.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. MAGA Republicans have made their choice. MAGA Republicans. MAGA Republicans. MAGA Republicans look at America and see carnage and darkness. The MAGA Republicans believe that for them to succeed, everyone else has to fail.
Speaking at Independence Hall in Philadelphia last night, the birthplace of American democracy, President Biden accused MAGA Republicans of being a threat to democracy.
There's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country.
Donald Trump reacted to the president's fiery address by describing it as awkward and angry and said if Biden does not want to make America great again, then he shouldn't be president. Democratic strategist Jessica Tarloff says the tough talk was just what Democrats wanted to hear.
Every single Democrat that I heard from were saying that this was the speech that they had been waiting for Joe Biden to make. And it's been a complaint for years that Republicans are always on offense and we're always on defense.
Charlie Hurd with the Washington Times.
If Democrat voters looked at that and said, yes, that's speaking for me, then we have a lot of very angry, disenchanted people in this country.
Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says Biden needs to apologize to the tens of millions of Americans who voted for Trump.
What a missed opportunity to talk to the American people straight up about the reasons when they lie down and sleep at night they can't. He could have talked about crime, inflation. Instead, he chose to say to the American people, if you don't agree with me, you're a bad person.
President Biden said last night that MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution, do not believe in the rule of law, and do not recognize the will of the people.
The people that President Biden is talking about are the people who get up every day, go to work, obey the law, pay their taxes, try to teach their kids morals. They do want to make America great again. They just don't agree with President Biden's neo-socialist woke agenda.
We'll have more on the fallout from the speech a little later in the broadcast. Will there be a special master to oversee the FBI case against Donald Trump? The jury's still out on that, but correspondent Stephen Portnoy says it's looking that way.
Judge Eileen Cannon was skeptical of the Justice Department's arguments that a former president can't assert executive privilege. She said prosecutors prosecutors may be overreading a 1977 Supreme Court case involving the Nixon tapes, saying the matter is not as cut and dried as the Justice Department makes it seem.
Trump's lawyers want the special master to look over whether any of the seized material from the president's home might be covered by executive privilege. Tense times in Argentina. There was an assassination attempt yesterday targeting the vice president of Argentina. It happened at a protest outside her home. Video shows a man with a gun just inches from the VP's face. He pulled the trigger. The gun did not go off. In Jackson, Mississippi, residents are being told to shower with their mouths shut because of the water emergency that's been going on there for nearly a week. Correspondent Jim Crisula.
Seven so-called water distribution mega sites will be open today in Jackson, Mississippi, as the city's 180,000 residents remain without running water. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves.
These sites will be well stocked, they will be well staffed, and they will be well prepared to handle the continued emergency of the coming days.
No one has any idea how long it will take to get the capital city's water supply up and running.
Countdown on track again for the Artemis moon rocket. NASA will try again tomorrow. Reporter Mark Strassman.
The latest from Mission Control is that they are a go for launch, but that said, that's not a guarantee that this rocket is going to get off the ground. Nearly 500 of what they call launch commit criteria all have to line up for this rocket to get a liftoff.
Blastoff scheduled for 2:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tomorrow you can go to the movies for just $3. The discount is good at more than 3,000 theaters nationwide. Now, organizers of this National Cinema Day event say movie attendance has dragged since the pandemic hit, and September 3rd is the day to celebrate how movies were meant to be seen on the big screen. Still to come on the Noon Report, New Yorkers up in arms over new gun guidelines, on strike in Pennsylvania, and Donald Trump's in Pennsylvania tomorrow.
Good afternoon. A beautiful day is underway. We carry that lovely weather into the start of the Labor Day weekend. We may not come out of it, though, so well. Forecast details are coming up in 10.
All right, we'll see you then. Thank you, Kevin. Let's check the stories making news across New York and Pennsylvania. Workers at 14 Pennsylvania nursing homes went on strike this morning. Marathon contract talks failed to reach a deal. Lindsay Ward is with KDKA in Pittsburgh.
This is certainly going to be tough because we are talking about the loved ones impacted by this who are at home, seeing their loved ones inside these facilities, wondering, are they still going to get the care that they need?
The 700 unionized workers want better pay and benefits and staffing levels. The strike impacts nursing homes in dozens of counties throughout the Commonwealth. Pennsylvania seems to be the place for presidents, past and present. Joe Biden's already been there twice this week and will be there again on Monday, Labor Day. Former President Trump is there tomorrow. He's headlining a rally at the Mohegan Sun Arena in Wilkes-Barre for the Republican candidates for governor and U.S. Senate. That so-called Save America rally starts at 7 p.m. Doug Mastriano suing the House committee that's investigating the January 6th Capitol attack. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The Pennsylvania Republican gubernatorial candidate is seeking to block the D.C. panel from enforcing its subpoena for his testimony. Doug Mastriano was outside the Capitol the morning of the 6th and had helped organize efforts in Pennsylvania to overturn the 2020 election results in favor of Donald Trump. The suit asserts the committee investigating the January 6th riot has no authority to compel testimony. Mastriano is trailing Democrat Josh Shapiro in recent polls and the race to replace the term-limited Tom Wolf as governor. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Religious leaders are questioning New York's new gun control measures, which ban people from carrying a weapon in church. Erie County Sheriff Joe Garcia.
There's people that go to church and their rabbi, their pastor, their priest count on them to be security. And as you know, churches are soft targets also. Those people are wondering, what's going to happen? Am I committing a felony now?
The New York State Rifle and Pistol Association is suing over the controversial new gun restrictions, which took effect yesterday. Family Life's Jeremy Miller says there's still a lot of confusion over how they work exactly.
A federal judge in Syracuse detailed the numerous ways in which the law is unconstitutional, but he stopped short of issuing an injunction against the new statutes. The judge said the state made the law too broad in restricting someone's ability to carry a firearm, and the controversial social media background check violates the Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. Anti-Second Amendment advocates argue the expanded regulations will reduce gun crimes, but pro-Second Amendment groups say most crimes involving firearms are tied to illegal weapons, and they're signaling more legal challenges. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
All right, thank you, Jeremy. Local firearms instructors are also up in arms over the new gun guidelines.
The huge issue here is the state is now mandating instructors teach a lot of things that they're not certified to teach.
James Emick with Firearms Training of Western New York, still trying to figure out how to get people certified for a pistol permit under these new requirements.
99% of instructors out there are certified to teach how to shoot a gun, how to hold a gun, and how to clean it and store it. All of that is included in the new law. But the new law also says those same people that are only certified to teach that can teach suicide, have to teach suicide prevention, federal gun law, state gun law, Article 35 and use of deadly force.
The 16-hour course has to be done in person too and must include 2 hours of range time.
It puts a huge roadblock in front of most instructors. It really does. And they're saying 16 hours, which is 2 days. It's already tough for a lot of people to give up 3 hours, right? To take a 3 to 5 hour class that your county requires. To give up 2 days is a lot.
Emick says the new pistol permitting process is, in a word, burdensome. Applicants must also submit a history of their social media use to determine if they have the character necessary to own a firearm. The Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania says his stroke recovery will determine the conditions under which he would agree to debate his Republican rival. And so far, John Fetterman has balked at the idea of going toe-to-toe with Dr. Mehmet Oz. I talked about it earlier today with Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
People of Pennsylvania, the voters of Pennsylvania, deserve the opportunity to hear from the Senate candidates. Fetterman, the stroke that he suffered is an issue, and if it means he can't debate, then that's an issue in and of itself.
The polls have tightened considerably since just, yeah, you know, in the midsummer. Now it's within the margin of error, as they say. If he does not agree to a debate, now I know Oz wants to do 5 of these. If he doesn't agree, mm-hmm, is this going to really start to raise questions in the minds of voters that, hey, what's wrong with John Fetterman?
Well, I think it should. And, you know, the lack of campaign appearances and lack of opportunity for the people to really see a Fetterman for what he is and talk about the issues and defend his policies, I think that may be some of the reason why the polls are tightening.
Do you think if when Pennsylvanians really start to tune in and understand what his positions are on things like crime and drugs and immigration, I mean, far outside the mainstream, do you think that's part of why he doesn't want to debate?
I think that is, you know, there are the twofold things. One, I think that his positions are difficult to defend in terms of where Pennsylvanians are. Mainstream Pennsylvanians are not progressive like John Fetterman is. And so I think that may be one of the reasons why he's reticent to debate. And also, again, the question of recovery from his stroke, what his health situation is like. Those are some of the issues that I think are why he's reticent to debate.
That is Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was in Binghamton this morning announcing a nearly $64 million project for Binghamton University. Schumer says this investment will make the Southern Tier region a national hub for battery research and manufacturing. The Senate Majority Leader claims the Battery Center in Binghamton will create thousands of good-paying jobs there in the Parlor City. A retired New York police officer has just received the longest prison sentence to date, linked to the attack on the U.S. Capitol.
The judge has sentenced Thomas Webster to 10 years in prison and ordered him to pay restitution. Webster was convicted at trial of charging at, tackling, and dragging a police officer. He argued self-defense, but the jury didn't buy it and convicted him in just hours.
Scott McFarland reporting, and just in time for the busy Labor Day weekend, gasoline prices still averaging above the $4 a gallon threshold in both New York and Pennsylvania. That's about 20 cents higher than the national average. Experts say if you're getting out of Dodge, the busiest times to be on the road will be this afternoon and Monday afternoon. And if chicken wings are your thing, Buffalo, New York is the place to be this weekend.
The 20th annual National Buffalo Wing Festival takes place this weekend at Highmark Stadium. Admission to the event is $20 per person, and food tickets can be purchased inside the stadium for $1.50 each. Chicken wings will cost one ticket each. All beverages will be sold cashless through debit or credit cards. The festival runs from noon until 9 on Saturday and noon until 7 on Sunday. Admission includes free parking in lots 6 and 7, located off Abbott Road next to the festival entrance. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
All right, Dee, thank you very much. 15 past the hour. Let's check your midday sports.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the top two teams in the National League squared off again in Flushing, New York last night, and the Mets won their season series against the Dodgers after some fine pitching from Chris Bassitt. He allowed two runs over six innings, and both Francisco Lindor and Brandon Nimmo hit RBI doubles in their 5-3 win. Speaking of fine pitching, the Atlanta Braves' Spencer Strider upped the ante to mighty fine pitching after setting a franchise record for strikeouts in a game. Strider fanned 16 batters over eight scoreless innings. Austin Riley went deep in the Braves' 3-0 victory over Colorado. The only other National League game saw Arizona shut out Milwaukee 5-0. In the American League, three different Orioles went deep. Baltimore shut out Cleveland 3-0. Boston outlasted Texas 9-8. The White Sox were 7-1 winners over Kansas City. And the Mariners led from the get-go after getting back-to-back home runs early in their game against the Tigers. 7-0 your final. By the way, that is the 18th time this season Detroit has been shut out. Interleague contest saw the Nats down Oakland 7-5. College football was good to Pennsylvania's top two programs. Last night, number 16 Pitt had a late pick six and then survived a last-second video review on a catch at the goal line by West Virginia. Looked good at first, but then it was ruled incomplete. 38-31, Pitt wins it. And Penn State came from behind with a 10-yard touchdown pass with under a minute to play and beat Purdue 35-31. And in the NFL, Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos agreeing to a 5-year contract extension. That is a look at sports.
Thank you, Randy Mann. Still to come on the Noon Report, are Donald Trump's followers really a threat to democracy? Holiday travelers brace for some trouble, and why one constitutional scholar believes your Second Amendment rights have never been more in danger.
Why are so many Christians looking for and even inventing new and better ways to educate our children? That's part of our history. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. 3 days before the first day of school in Columbus, Ohio, the teachers' union went on strike. That left 47,000 students with nowhere to go. School board officials promised that schooling would move forward online, but on what was supposed to be the first day, the website suffered outages for hours at a time. It was chaos. Even as this teacher strike was brewing, a new school in one of the poorest neighborhoods in Columbus was preparing to open its doors for the first time. Westside Christian School will serve kindergartners through second graders this year using Sunday school classrooms and a gym inside a local Baptist church. Thanks to funding from donors and Ohio's school voucher program, which allows kids who live in failing school districts to use their tax dollars for private schooling, students can attend Westside Christian School without paying tuition. This is just one example of the kind of creativity that has animated Christians all over the country for decades now, with the goal of offering different and better educational opportunities for families. While some consider the idea that Christians are involved in education, especially public education, controversial, it didn't used to be. You see, the Christian account of reality from creation in Genesis to the new creation in Revelation is the true story of the world. The biblical mandate to tell that story to everyone, whether rich or poor, clergy or not, well, that's the foundation of the entire Western world's concept of universal schooling. For example, a chief complaint of the reformers was that Rome kept a tight rein on education and learning, most notably in limiting Bible translations only to Latin. The reformers' view that everyone should hear God's word led to Bibles in common language and widespread education for those previously left out. The ability for everyone to read God's word for himself or herself, that led to the dramatic expansion of literacy and learning, not to mention commerce. Now, of course, the Roman Catholic Church was also a great champion of education, founding universities and parochial schools everywhere the church expanded. A few hundred years after the Reformation, the American founders established public education as the right and duty of every citizen. Unfortunately, public education was isolated from religious faith a long time ago, and therefore untethered from its moral foundation. Today, most people, even Christians, think of education as a secular arena. Religion, we're told, should be kept personal, private, and above all, outside of the classroom. Well, that bad idea has had very real consequences. Far from being neutral on issues of religion and morality, public schools instead push dangerous religious and political ideologies, like critical race theory, and harmful irrational ideas about sex and gender. All the while, many American schools aren't even succeeding at the basics. Back in 2015, the U.S. Department of Education found that almost 20% of American high school graduates could not read. In many communities, of course, that number is far higher. And so now, at least in many communities, public school enrollment is in a free fall. In contrast, private Christian school enrollment has gone up, and a record number of households are homeschooling. This is a moment for Christians to love our neighbors through education, just like our forebears did. We do this by pressing public schools to do better and by providing as many other options as possible, by making those options financially and otherwise feasible. There's a lot that we can do, and when we do it, we give good gifts to the world. While grown-ups stalk picket lines, there are real kids who need a real education right now. The church has always been more than up to the task. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
It's 22 past the hour, and this is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for checking in. A lot on our plate this Friday afternoon, the 2nd of September. The August unemployment report went public today. It shows employers added 315,000 jobs to their payrolls last month, but still, a lot of companies are having trouble finding workers.
We still cannot fill the need or the demand in the industry.
That woman owns a salon in California. Last month, there were 11.2 million job openings. The government said today unemployment ticked up 0.2% to 3.7% as more Americans test out the job market.
There was a significant increase in the number of individuals working and looking for work. Labor force participation, the measure of the supply of workers, rose 0.3% to 62.4%, still 1% below the pre-pandemic level.
Mark Hamrick with Bankrate. com. New information out today on the FBI raid at President Trump's home in South Florida.
A more detailed, newly unsealed inventory of what the FBI took from Mar-a-Lago shows material marked top secret commingled in boxes with news articles, magazines, books, and even articles of clothing. More than 24 documents with classified markings were removed from the former president's office, dozens more from a storage area. Judge Eileen Cannon appears likely to appoint a special master to review the seized material to see if any of it might be covered by attorney-client or possibly executive privilege.
Donald Trump's reacting to President Biden's fiery primetime speech to the nation last night. The White House labeled it a fight for the soul of the nation speech. It was directed at just one man and his followers.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Trump says if Biden doesn't want to make America great again, then he shouldn't be president. He called the address awkward and angry. Former Congressman J.D. Hayworth says the speech was
a corrosive campaign speech that will not win votes, but will lose Mr. Biden any opportunity at a spot of fond remembrance in American history.
Now to a story about the wife of a country music megastar who got ripped apart on social media for defending traditional gender roles. Brittany Aldean, the wife of Jason Aldean, posted on Instagram that she's glad her parents didn't try to change her gender when she went through her tomboy phase as a child. That comment drew sharp rebuke on social media and forced Mrs. Aldean to go public with her views.
We have ages on everything, right? We have it for cigarettes. We have it for driving. We have it for military voting. Yet, for some reason, people think that we can let a child choose their gender so young. It's very baffling to me.
Aldean tells Tucker Carlson of Fox News that gender bender ideology is nothing more than a form of child abuse. There's a power crunch in California because of a blistering heat wave, and it's causing problems for the state's burgeoning electric vehicle industry.
Owners of Teslas and other electric cars here in California are being asked not to charge their vehicles between 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. That has prompted some to ask questions about an eventual complete conversion to electric cars.
Well, there's no way we could keep up right now if we suddenly went to 100% clean cars.
Severin Borenstein of the University of California says 100% will consume a lot of power.
It's about an extra 30%.
Experts in the field say this will be one of the challenges as clean cars become more popular. Steve Futterman, Los Angeles.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. We are coming up on 26 past the hour, and next at noon today, a closer look at New York's new and controversial gun control laws, which took effect yesterday. Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms weighs in.
These new gun restrictions are causing a lot of problems. Sheriffs, local firearms instructors, gun owners themselves are now saying, we don't know what to do here. And pardon the pun, they're up in arms over this, Jason. I thought the Supreme Court had ruled on this in the summer. What happened?
Yeah, it's unfortunate because when the Supreme Court ruled on this decision, the state government kind of thumbed its nose at the court and went ahead and passed legislation that ultimately, I believe, will be struck down by the court. In the meantime, though, every New Yorker is going to have to fight for their right, their Second Amendment rights in the courts and in the voting booth before ultimately the Supreme Court will overturn that. It will take some time.
Yeah, and the most concerning to a lot of people, of course, is the new gun-free zones. Wherever people congregate, it's pretty much illegal now to have a gun. When you look at what this new law does, what most concerns you?
Well, there's multiple things. You know, I'm concerned about the social media look back on this particular bill. I'm looking at the state deciding who is moral enough to be able to exercise their Second Amendment rights. This is the same state government that doesn't seem to care about morality or anything else, but now all of a sudden will be the moral arbitrator. And let's be honest, I mean, there are churches all across the state, if we could bring it home directly to your listeners, churches that have security teams that as of this Sunday, those churches will no longer have those security teams, and those that are carrying guns in church will be guilty of committing a felony.
Yeah, talk about, if you would, as well, for small business owners that decide that they will allow concealed carry. These new laws now say that if you're going to uphold the Second Amendment, you've got to post a sign in your window to advertise that? How's that work?
Yeah, it's assumed that as you go into a place of business or any private property, if there is not a sign stating that your firearm is welcome there, concealed carry, that the gun owner who is carrying there is, again, committing a felony. And I just... it's awful what's doing to businesses because the business now has to take a position on a politically volatile issue. If that business puts a sign up saying they support Second Amendment rights, there will be those who will seek to cancel them. And if they don't put that sign up, well, they're turning off many Second Amendment supporters in their community as well. And so it puts the business in just a terrible position that they should not be in.
And of course, all this made possible through that emergency session of the legislature after the Supreme Court ruling. The governor called the session. They passed this. She signed the law. And this week she said something interesting. She said this whole idea that the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. She said that's not true. Is it, Jason?
Well, we argue that it is true, at least in some cases. And while it's not true in every case, you know, that you're always going to have the right person in that situation, there are cases where it has been. You know, I was there the night that the legislature moved this bill, and the language popped out close to midnight. It was passed by 2 in the morning. This is the nature of oftentimes how Albany operates. This is unconstitutional rubbish that I believe will be overturned one day, but the state government under Governor Kathy Hochul and the Democratic majorities are forcing New Yorkers to have to surrender their constitutional rights and fight dollars and cents to get it through the courts again. It ought not to be done this way.
And again, this is not going to get overturned until after the elections, you said?
Probably. It will, you know, I think you may see a temporary restraining order. There are multiple court challenges that are moving, but ultimately this is going to have to get back to the Supreme Court, and that could take years.
That is Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, and this is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, we've made it to the Labor Day weekend, and it's going to have a definite summery, sunny start to it. In fact, if you have plans this weekend that are flexible, realizing some folks have, of course, naturally locked in their outdoor plans, if you have flexible plans, the best weather or the better weather conditions will be today and tomorrow, as the front comes in Sunday with a shower chance and may linger on Monday to produce showers. In the meantime, for this afternoon, plenty of sunshine and pleasantly warm. High temperatures, low 80s. Clear tonight. Not as cool as last night. Low temps, 50s and low 60s. But tomorrow, mostly sunny, very warm, and more humid than today. High tomorrow in the 80s. That's the beach day tomorrow. And then rounding out the Labor Day weekend on Sunday, variable cloudiness. It's not a washout, but there'll be a couple of scattered showers and thunder showers around. High temps, mid-70s and mid-80s. And then on Monday, a good deal of cloudiness. There'll be some showers across Pennsylvania and the southern tier of New York, and be a little bit on the cooler side as well.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. And finally from us at noon today for a Friday, today's a day to make the workplace a little nicer place to be. And Family Life's Brian Querry tells us how we can do that.
It's been said that good manners will open doors that the best education cannot. And today, it's a day to celebrate those niceties in the workplace, as it's Bring Your Manners to Work Day. This day is celebrated the first Friday in September each year. With 9-to-5 routines, some of us spend more time with our work family than our real family, and much like at home, good manners need to be followed at the workplace. It's important to have healthy relationships with bosses, colleagues, and clients to have a good work environment that won't burn you out. So today at work, say please and thank you, maybe hold a door for someone, or refill someone's coffee. Today's holiday is a much-needed reminder to all that the workplace has rules to be followed and that bad manners can be just bad for business. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brian. Conversely, good manners are never out of style. Here, let me get that door for you. And that's the world we live in, Friday, the 2nd of September. Have a wonderful and safe holiday weekend. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.